Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I've been hosting this call for 19 plus years, and I've had the privilege of having some exceptional, inspirational, motivational speakers, writers, authors, spiritual counselors, people of influence and affluence from many, many walks of life. And tonight I have the unequivocal privilege of having one of the top five people I've ever coached in my career. And I broke down the law of numbers in that, and the percentage: if you're a top five of 12,000 people, then you are unequivocally in the law of the few. That would be like 1/20 of 100%. So I have the privilege of introducing you tonight. If you've never heard my guest tonight, Tara Romano. Tara is a first-class woman, a multipreneur, a woman who unequivocally will deliver great content about social media, free enterprise, overcoming challenges and obstacles. And I'll be interviewing Tara in just a couple of minutes. But in the interim, what I'm going to do is cover a few quick announcements as we move into the holiday portion of 2017, with more Memorial Day right around the weekend, 4th of July. We move into Labor Day. A lot of great conventions, events are happening right in your backyard. I want to cover a few events that I'm hosting, and we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is going to be a fabulous event. I'll be covering content that will dig deep into the cause and the effect, why you do what you do, how to effectively ask questions in a sequence, how to be a much better listener, how to be a better mentor, how to be able to have a better understanding of predictability, and how to effectively let go, separating your feelings from the events that shape them. That will be from 9 until 4. I want to thank my good friend Joe DiBianca, who is hosting the event with and for me. Joe has hosted that event for me many times in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that will be a great event. And on Saturday, July 3rd, right after the Memorial weekend, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ticket sales are already really moving. June 17th, I'll be in Marina Del Rey. I've spoken at that event a few times with our guest tonight, Tara Romano. My exceptional friend and client, Brittany Carl, will be hosting that event. On June 24th, I'll be in my own backyard in the beautiful City by the Bay in Walnut Creek, California. That is in the East Bay, beautiful area to host an event. That will be Saturday, June 24th, with Rebecca Caffiero. July 8th, Long Island. July 15th, La Jolla. July 22nd, Atlanta. And I will be putting I'm going to be putting Austin, Texas on the map. I'm looking at July 29th for that. I haven't spoken in Austin in a number of years. August 5th, the Millionaire Blueprint will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, with tonight's guest, Tara Romano, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, and Susan Sly. How about that for a trifecta, and myself? There are other events that I will be speaking throughout the calendar year 2017. If you're on tonight's call, you're a first-time caller, or have never listened to the call, I offer 15 minutes of free coaching to people who are committed, serious about taking their game or their enterprises to the next level. If you'd like to find out more about my one-on-one coaching, you can send me a message on Inbox Facebook Messenger with your phone number, and I will return your message with a phone call relatively quickly with your free 15 minutes of coaching. It is now my unequivocal privilege, I want to leave as much time as possible to the content for tonight's call. The woman I'm about to introduce you is not only an exceptional client of mine, not only a first-class entrepreneur, but a very, very good friend. I met Tara almost 6 years ago. We'll be experiencing our six-year anniversary this October, as she was just starting to break through her free enterprise ventures. I was a very good friend and a coach of her sister, Alexis Romano. Alexis brought Tara to one of my events in Fort Lee, New Jersey, along with C.G. Siddons, who also became another exceptional student, entrepreneur, and first-class human being and businesswoman. I'm going to have C.G. as a guest on my call at some point later in this year. Tara is is a passionate advocate for free enterprise and entrepreneurship, especially in the network marketing industry. She's a modern-day prosperity story. Tara is known for her vulnerability in sharing her many trials and tribulations in her network marketing journey. Once she identified the personal and business habits required, she was able to achieve success, massive success, and now her message is, if she can do it, so can you. You'll find Tara's social media footprint to be extensive across various platforms, including YouTube, with over 5 million views of her internationally renowned fitness videos featuring her original choreography and love of dance. Tara is an exceptional businesswoman, and she's going to deliver some great content for you. Tonight, Tara will share her entrepreneurial journey, the lessons she learned along the way, and she will also give you some key tips on how you too can become a six- and a seven-figure income earner in free enterprise. Tara, unequivocally, my privilege to have you on tonight's call.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me on the call. I'm just so excited to talk with you.
You know, I did not realize that it was 2014. It's been 2014 since you're on the call, so this is, like, so awesome to have you here tonight, especially the quantum leaps you've had in the last 6 years, and in the last 3 years, your story is, like, look at all the views you have all over social media. So it's so awesome to have you on our call tonight.
Yeah, I was in California. I actually vividly remember where I was sitting when we did our call. I think it was July 2014.
Were you in the high-rise in Marina del Rey looking over the beautiful Pacific Ocean?
I was, and I was just thinking right now that it's dark, and if I was in California, it might still be light out.
And where are you residing now for the summer of 2017?
I am in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and I really love it.
And for those who,
but I love it.
Right, it's not California, but don't forget that's where the E Street Band really made their mark, so that was interesting when you told me that is where you are residing now. Now, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that you were bartending. Do you remember that era?
Well, yeah, you know what's so funny is right where I took my mom for Mother's Day, right next to it is the last place that I bartended at, and it's really close to where I live. So I always remember moments, you know, when I was there.
I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I started coaching you right as you had ended your bartending career in 2011. That was one of those I'm so done with this moments. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I remember. Oh, my gosh. I was so done with it. I used to listen to your CDs. It was like the first time I ever listened to any kind of personal development CDs on my way to work. I had an hour drive to bartending, and I knew within like the first few minutes, like, somebody was going to make me angry. And I remember, like, I'll just listen to these because at least it'll give me a longer time of like feeling pleasure. Like, because if anybody on the call has ever been in the restaurant industry, you know, you know, there's a lot of personalities there.
Interesting, especially the more they drink, the more their personality tends to change.
Yeah.
Tara, let's go back to where you and I began. I had the opportunity to meet you in Fort Lee, New Jersey. That was one of those hotels you had to go down the highway, through the woods, back over through the woods, come all the way back up the side. I met you October 31st, 2011. You attended one of my events. It was an intimate event, about 40 people. Your sister brought you to that event. That was October 31st, 2011. That's where you and I first met. You remember that like yesterday?
Yeah, of course. Of course I do.
Now, at that point in your entrepreneurial career, What were you focusing on as a businesswoman? I know you had a couple of businesses, but you had not reached your potential in either one of them. Where were you in your journey at that point?
Right. So I had been teaching group exercise for a really long time, and then you know, I've always loved dance, and then Zumba came along, and I had just, like, the gym that I was working at and I kind of grew up in, I was teaching three classes, and at the time they wouldn't give me a raise, or they wouldn't give me any more classes. So, like, I felt like I was being held down, and I had such a passion for doing this. So I had left the gym, and I was really nervous, but I just left blindly. And I remember I started at this place in Asbury, which is, like, I can, like, see the place from where I live. And I started teaching there, and then I like, the old gym that I taught at, you weren't allowed to teach anywhere else. This gym let you. So then I started to venture off on my own. I started to create a brand called Get Your Fit On, Like, it was just, like, something that I used to use after all my posts. I rented out, like, it was, like, it's called the Squash Club. It was just, like, this little space where I had, like, a little speaker, and I remember, like, walking down the streets of Asbury, where I am right now, which is so crazy, like, putting flyers. I went to Monmouth College, so I was just, like, blindly, like, trying to grow this business that I wasn't really sure what it was going to be, but I just loved what I did so much that it didn't really matter. And I was teaching literally like in two counties because I had stopped bartending. I needed to make money. So I just taught everywhere. I would teach after school in, you know, elementary schools. I mean, anywhere that someone would let me, I literally had my little boom box and I would just travel everywhere.
And that means that you were paying the price. You were learning the repetition of the experience of starting to create your moves and starting to really create your style in the art of dance. I mean, I can appreciate what you're doing. I mean, anyone who's ever really made it paid their dues just like you were, and you were doing it in the small gyms, the small places. Now, when you say squash building, I know
the
that
squash club.
Yeah, they feel right. In little, those are little tiny rooms. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is where you start. Now, I remember when you were dancing and you were just really getting started in your direct sales business, and you were also in conflict with the owner of the Baker League. Do you remember that era?
Very well. Yeah, I wanted to. It was a really great opportunity. So it was this really big basketball place, and you know,
had multiple gyms in a gym, right?
Yeah, it was huge. It was, like, really, really huge. It was a great opportunity for both of us because, you know, I was paying him rent, and there was a huge space in the back, and, like, I had this vision. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'll do a build-out there. Like, I'll, you know, hire someone to do a build-out, and I'll have classes. And it was so ironic that, I mean, obviously, I wound up not doing that, but, like, the place flooded right after the hurricane. I would have had the build-out, and it would have been gone.
Timing. It means you were able to recognize the situation. I remember having the conversation with you about that. Now, you and I started coaching right at the first of the year 2012. 2012 and 2013 were magical years for you. I watched you absolutely transform from achieving about $1,000 a month to where you really came into your own in those 2 years. Can you share with the people listening, especially the people who are in that place where they're not quite achieving their dreams, they're struggling, they haven't broken through, they know they can do it, but they're not sure they can do it. Can you share with the people listening some of the anxieties and doubts that you overcame while also being mentored by your sister in this 2-year process?
My gosh, yeah, absolutely, because I feel like we talk about it all the time. We always go back to like where we started and where we are now. And we never, ever forget. So for those of you on the call who don't know me, my sister literally dragged me into this business. She bought me the products I was on for the holiday. And I wanted nothing to do with network marketing. When I heard that word, I just remember, like, feeling icky. Like, and I don't really know why. And now I know it's because I was not educated. Like, I didn't want anyone to know that I did network marketing because, like I just didn't like the word. But then pretty much, my sister had said, you know, I was using the products for 2 years. I love them. And she said, well, you know, like, I didn't want to bartend. And she's like, well, like, if you don't try this business, then you can, like, you know, cry about bartending to someone else. And I was like, well, who else is going to listen to me? So I remember, like, going to one event, and I was like, I never knew what personal development was. Like, no one told me in college that you can do, be, or have anything that you want. So at like 32, I go to an event, and, you know, I just felt really good. I remember looking around and, like, you know, seeing some incomes and things like that, and I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, there's no way. But I also remember wanting to go back. Like, every time I went to an event, like, there was somebody that said something that I just kept wanting to go back. And I almost feel like I didn't – it was ignorance on fire. I don't know, you know – a lot of the time, Jeff, and, you know, you were with me through a lot of it, but, you know, and with my sister, too, so I'm thinking back, and for those of you, you might know my sister and CG Siddons, we all kind of did it together. We just, like, we didn't really know what we were doing, but we did it, and whenever I talk to my sister about, like, how I created this, we always go back to the fact that, like, I was just a hard worker. Like, I never had less than three jobs. By the end of my last year having W-2 forms, I had seven of them. So it's like I didn't know anything better than other than working, like working really hard. So, you know, even though I had reservations and I wasn't sure, like, what I was doing sometimes, I feel like we just did it. Because what else were we going to do? We didn't know any different than to other than to just really work really hard.
You know, the question that people go, how'd you do it? And the answer, a lot of times we look at them, we can't really answer them. You go, I just did it.
Yeah.
You know, that's in that space, because people see you as a role model. You've become a seven-figure income earner. You have in the hundreds of thousands of views, and people want to know your secret, your recipe, your blueprint. How did you do it? Well, what most people that succeed have challenges articulating is the process. Now, you fortunately, along with your sister, created a blueprint. You and your sister created an absolutely step-by-step system that a team could follow. And it became, and it wasn't something that was handed to you. You earned it. Alexis was brilliant at putting that together. A system that a team could follow, and you're part of it. Now, all companies have their systems, but you also created a system in a system that made it to take the term duplication to the term duplication. And early, this was not how you were. You were, even though you were structured in many areas, you were not structured in network marketing. I believe that was a major component. How important is it that you start to understand the simplicity of a business rather than the complication of it?
Oh my gosh, it's so important. I think that we complicate it so much. It's like we're almost addicted to complicating things. things are a lot more simpler if we just allow them to be. And I think that's why the systems that my sister created for us really, really helped, because anyone can do this business. And I've actually seen it. Like, I was just saying, like, just the other day to CJ, I'm like, it's just so amazing to watch, you know, a team of so many different people of all walks of lives and so many different ages just succeed. And I'm so inspired by the people on our team and, like, the people that I watch do this, because everyone's just so different. And I just watch people do it, so I know it's possible. It's not like just one person succeeding or two or three. Like, a lot of people are.
Well, not only is it possible, but you're a perfect example of someone who didn't understand the industry, had a misconception about it, didn't have a belief at the beginning that you would succeed, didn't really understand personal development and self-improvement, yet in a two-year period, I witnessed it, 2011 to 2013, you broke through. Now, on your team today, I got a message from Joanna and Mike. I mean, Joanna was a friend of yours. You introduced her to the business. You personally sponsored her, and her and Mike let me know the kind of results they're having. I mean, the kind of results they're having, anyone on this call could do it. We're talking multiple five figures. They're living the dream, but they earned it. So you've also seen your friend CG do it. So if you were going to give anyone a tip tonight about where they are in their belief and where they could be in 2 years, what would you share with them that you've been able to inspire your team with?
Yeah, and I'm going to use CG and Joanna as an example, because you know, they're both so different, but, like, what they do that's so similar is they're so consistent. Like, you know, people start things and they stop. They start and they stop. And I feel like we live in such a microwave world where people want things right away. And I'll never forget, like, during the time I was coaching Joanna, I was, like, traveling a lot. I remember talking to her in airports, in my car, like, wherever. But she did anything I would tell her to, like, anything. Because she wanted it so bad, and she was really passionate. And CG too, like anything my sister like had said for us to do, like she would do it. And you know, and that shows a lot. Like success leaves clues. And you know, Joanna's a mom, and you know, I just feel like that's really inspiring, because you know, like being a mom, having another job, and just like watching them do this is just really, really powerful. But yeah, being consistent, and I just think following the systems and just not making it so much harder than it has to be. And I know that just sounds so simple, but like I always say, the one thing that all these people were and I was is consistent, even like on our really bad days, because we have some really terrible Facebook posts from only like 4 years ago. It's like I don't even know like how some people didn't befriend us.
Exactly. And you're talking about Joanna Cavalcanti. She hired me in January of 2014. You referred me to her. That is only 3 years ago. Now, today she sent me a message, her and her husband, number 52 in your company, a company that's almost a billion-dollar company. That means number 52. Now, how rewarding is it to have friends like Joanna and C.G. Siddons that really grew up with you in the dance world, or grew up in your neighborhood with you, or that you were or worked in a restaurant with you or bartended with you, to be able to have someone go from where you were dancing with them or bartending with them to where they're now millionaires? Can you explain the joy, gratitude that you receive from that kind of inspired friendship?
You know, and I have to say, too, Carrie Gutilla just hit millionaire, too, and, you know, we started in Zumba together as well. And it's really amazing, Jeff, because we all just started doing something that weren't too sure of, but like we just had a reason bigger than ourselves, I think, or we just wanted more. Like, and them too, like, it's just so crazy. We're just like regular people. I always say, like, there's nothing special about me. I always say that, in the sense that, like, you know, why I can do this, you know, and someone else can't, it's just not true. And just to, you know, we now, me and Joanna and Carrie and CG, we like think about the times where before we even knew what network marketing was. And, you know, we just reminisce about those times. We're like, look where we came from. But again, like I said, it's not just us. It's not just a few people. It's so many more. Like, these are just, you know, the few people that I'm really close with. So
here's what I will say, though, Tara. You do say this, and I will agree. You consistently say you're not special, but here's what I'll say as your coach and friend: you're unique. Now, what you have that everyone on the call has, but they may not have crossed the bridge, is you have habits. You virtually will out-habit people. Even when your mindset would waver, your habits were exceptional. Can you share with the people about your habits? Because it shows up in dance, and it also shows up in your network marketing business. Can you share with people a little bit about that unique habit that you have called consistency?
Yeah, I mean, and I really do. And it took me a while to realize it. And I remember my sister, because I remember saying to her, and probably a couple of times, I'm like, Lex, I'm like, how did this happen? Like, how did, like, you know, I try to think back to, like, what specifically it was about, like, this, like, becoming successful in both of the things I do. And it was, like, I always show up, like, and again, I'll show up messy, I'll show up unsure, like, I might cry, I cry often, but I
not like you used to, though.
No, like, but, like, you know, I say I cry, like, even when I'm happy, like, I'm just an emotional person, but, like, I'm the type of person who will cry, wipe my tears, get on the phone or do a video, teach a class, and then, you know, just feel so much better. Like, I always feel like action neutralizes negative emotion. And I remember Eric Worre saying that at a couple of events, but it's the truth. Like, you know, yeah, I have my days, I've had my moments, but now they're more moments rather than like weeks or days like I used to. But like, again, I just feel like I'm just so consistent, like no matter how I'm feeling, like I'll still show up and do it.
Now, that is a question that many people ask you, the one that I like to ask, how do I become consistent? Let's break this down a little. It's never how do I become consistent, it's why aren't most people consistent? As a woman of building teams, multiple six- and seven-figure teams, what have you started to understand predictably why most people don't succeed?
Well, they talk themselves out of it. They don't – like, again, I always say we live in a microwave world. People want it right away, and they're just not willing, I think, to do. And be consistent day in and day out. And they get really caught up on what life throws at them, because we all have stuff going on. Like, life throws up things that we don't want to deal with. Like, you know, we're all quote unquote busy, which after coaching with you, I never use that word anymore.
Productive.
Yeah, oh, 100% productive. And sometimes I want to stay busy, and I totally catch myself. You know, we have time to do what's important to us. And, like, you know, once I learned, Jeff, what residual income really was, and once I understood, like, a compensation plan, like, I just, like, a light bulb went off for me. So, but, yeah, I just think people quit before they get started. But, again, I think we're so addicted to disappointment sometimes, a lot of us. And that's a reason why people start, because they'd much rather put the energy into saying, like, it didn't work than trying.
You've been through some challenges, and you and I have covered this addiction to disappointment. It afflicts most of society. What input would you have for people who constantly find themselves disappointed and they don't really have the desire to overcome their situations? What input would you share with them tonight?
I would say that, like, I don't know, I think people really need to get clear on what it is that they want. I do this when people want to start the business with me, or even like products. You know, I ask like, are you ready? Because I think some people think that they're ready, but they're not ready to commit. So I just think, like, you can't just half do this.
You can say it half-assed.
I was. I was like, I don't know if I can say it on the call, but
it's my call, remember?
You have to be 100% committed, and it's not going to look the same every day, but I think sometimes we kid ourselves in what we think actual production looks like. And I'm not saying I'm perfect every day by any means, but again, I still always like show up, and the people who are successful show up all the time. And, you know, I'm not a mom, but I know a lot of moms that are, and dads that are really successful and do it. So that, like, you can't, like, using that your kids as a why, I think, is really important as well.
And also clarity. I have a client who makes over $1 million a month. He's an exceptional young man. He's only 31. If you ask him any questions, he is so clear in his delivery. And I did an event this weekend, and people were saying that the two of us have clarity like most people have never seen. And it's so important to be clear, meaning that know the outcome before you start. Now, that contradicts a lot of people's doubt. Doubt is what keeps people in the space between fear and faith. Doubt keeps people safe and keeps them disappointed. And most people will avoid failing rather than focusing on results. And unfortunately, it afflicts a lot of people. Now, what I knew about you is in 2013 you crossed the bridge. Remember when you got to dance for your company in 2012 in front of thousands of people?
I do.
I have a good memory, don't I?
Yeah, and you have such a good memory. I'll never forget it, because I actually remember the year before saying to my sister as we were sitting there, it might have been a year or two before, I'm like, I want to do Zumba for this company, and I don't know what it looks like, but like I want to do it. And we were able to dance on stage a few years in a row, and then the past 2 years, we've done Zumba Make-A-Wish and have raised almost $10,000 for Make-A-Wish for it. So it's really amazing to know what I want and, like, it happened. And, like, it's just, like, having that intention. It's again, something that I never knew before network marketing, before coaching with you and understanding what personal development was.
Okay, we're going to cover a little bit tonight about the difference between luck and a skill. So if I look at the people you've sponsored, and like, so I said that you were one of the top five people I've ever coached, so that puts you like in the 100th, that's 1/100, 100th of 1% of the people I've coached. That's the law of the few. But you also say, I'm not special, and then I will counter that with, you're unique. Tara, you realize you've personally sponsored three people who went on to become millionaires in your company?
Yeah, Joanna and Mike are super close, so that
right.
would be three. I know.
Right.
We're just talking about that.
So you're not lucky. There's a difference between luck and being good. So you've been to numerous events, rallies, conventions, seminars, workshops, spiritual retreats. You've heard the word law of attraction 100,000 times at least, give or take. Now, you have the ability to attract really good people. Can you give the people on the call the difference between being lucky and being good when it comes to attraction? I know this is a unique question.
Well, I feel like, and you and I feel like this almost discussed this a little bit yesterday, but I was in such a place of like just loving what I was doing, like, you know, working when I was building my network marketing business and my dance fitness business. So I was just loving what I was doing. It was just working. Like, I remember, like, people were messaging me like that. I was like, why do they want to talk about me? Why do they want to talk to me? And it just kind of happened. Like, and it happened because I was just being me. Like, I was just doing what I loved. And it was like, I wasn't comparing. I wasn't looking at other people and wishing I was them, or so like those feelings weren't with me at that point. And that's like those are the times when enrolled Carrie and Joanna and CG. Like, it was just a time where, like, I was just enjoying myself.
Well, that was the place where it was called Effortless.
Yeah, like, and I like, again, we were talking about this, you know, just yesterday, and I remember, like, just doing, and I was just really just always doing, and I think that when we're not, I think a lot, like, when we're looking at other people and, like, wanting to get there, like CJ always says, with, like, clenched fists and gritted teeth, it's just a different, and I've been on both sides, Jeff, and for people on the call, so I know the difference. Like, I know I've worked in both places, and being in ease and flow is so much more fun.
And you were definitely not an overnight success. You paid the price, and you're still paying the price as you're reinventing yourself. You also found that the success myth, oftentimes we get the success we want, and we find out it isn't quite what we wanted. Can you break that down a little bit in vulnerability about what that means? I've found that out myself.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's paradoxical, isn't it? You get there and you go, well, I almost said the F word.
Yeah.
How do I stay here?
Yeah, a lot of people, and, you know, I felt like after this, after, like, I became successful, like, it happened more. Like, I kept saying, oh, I can't wait till I get there, or, like, there, the next place. And because for me, if I'm not growing or my team's not growing, like, it makes me anxious. And I really want that not just for myself, but for the people that I work with, because I really care about my team. A lot of my team are people that I care about. They're my friends. So, you know, I'm in this great place. Like, I remember moving to California, like, having really amazing income, like, you know, being known in the fitness world, and just, like, not feeling that feeling of fulfillment, because that's when I started to compare, because I felt like I had hit a plateau, Jeff. And I'm like, well, who would I be if, like, I'm hitting this plateau? Because I was so used to, like, growing and growing and growing the past few years, that when that happened, I was like, well, this is weird that I'm feeling this way, because I have an amazing life. But, like, I got to the point where I wanted more. And I remember my sister saying, like, you know, you're always going to want more. So what if you wake up and you have 1 million followers? And I'm like, well, that would be awesome. But I was like, no. She's like, it'll never be enough. So I always say now, and it took me so long to understand that, and it's something that I'm honestly always working through, but I get it now, because, like I can get there. I'll get the next star or the next, you know, whatever. But, like, if I don't feel good now, if I don't feel enough now, then it's never going to matter. Like, it might matter for a minute. It might feel good for a few minutes, but I feel like it goes away after.
Now, you've spent quality time with Dr. Joe Dispenza and other exceptional people, and you and I have also discussed this. When you have repressed addictions and repressed emotions based on past events, even though you become successful, sometimes we can outproduce our addictions. But if we're not good enough, even when we get to this destination, we think we're there, we're still not good enough. And then we live in this one's too many and a thousand's not enough. And that's a space that you're really starting to understand, meaning that you're starting to relax into your success. Is that what you're attempting to convey here?
Yes, absolutely.
How does one do that when they've struggled so long? Then they get to the pinnacle. How do I relax into my success?
You know, it's sometimes where I think sometimes it has to have that feeling like enough is enough. Like, I started to become, like, over myself. Like, I remember talking to people that I know care about me and that I care about them. I'm like, you must be so over me right now. And I was over myself. Like, I was over my thoughts. I was going back into those victim modes of, like, feeling sorry for myself. And just, like, I was looking at all the negative, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you know, I worked so hard to get to this place, and, you know, like, it's just ridiculous to start comparing. Like, this is what I put out into the world. Like, don't compare yourself and love your journey. And I was not following any of it. So I kind of started to feel a little bit like a fraud too.
Well, this is so awesome you're saying this. This is the kind of content that people deserve to hear, because they look at you and me and they think we're infallible or we think we're invincible, but what you're really sharing with people is a vulnerability about the success myth. I've been through many challenges in success, while I was being successful, reinventing my success, because people don't understand that success is to be attained And then it's a feeling that you have to be able to stay inside the feeling. But if you start to relapse back into not good enough, then the whole situation begins to spiral. Now, this is really good what you're saying. You said that you felt a little bit like you weren't as genuine and you started to doubt yourself. Can you share with the people listening how you started to overcome that and really started to get back into your game that you're that you're mastered now?
Yeah, and I sometimes still feel like I'm working through it a little bit, but yes, I remember just feeling like I was just like really just over myself, and I know. I'm just trying to like articulate it.
You know how good you are right now. You are crushing it.
Thank you, Jeff. I just wasn't. I mean, like, I love working. I love working my business. I love being productive. I love helping people, and I just wasn't attracting what I used to attract. Like, it just became different, and I just like nothing I did was making me happy. And I,
however, at the time, the money was still pouring in.
Yeah. So that's what was I wasn't understanding. And
but that's the contradiction. Because yeah, now you have the money, but you're still not good enough.
But if I voiced that to anyone, it would just sound crazy. So I would just...
I've lived it. I get it.
Yeah. I would just share it with, you know, people that I care about and, like, and you know, whoever I was coaching with. But it made me feel so strongly about, you know, again, all that I put out into the world is about loving yourself, loving your journey, like I said. And I'm like, I just... If I'm feeling this way, I was like, I'm sure, like, so many other people are. And it's just... It's kind of ridiculous. Like, I just know that... I want to enjoy life, right? And I, like, why would I have done this if I can't just, you know, enjoy the moment? And I remember you said yesterday, just like, you know, going through the day without criticizing yourself, like just, you know, little things like that. But yeah, I really just was so sick of myself, Jeff. Like, I really just was. Like, I couldn't even be in the same room with my thoughts. And I was just like, all right, this is like enough. You know, because, like, what my sister said is right. Like, a million followers maybe the next day would have been amazing. But I'm sure after that, like, surpassed, it would be something else. And I just really feel so strongly, like, to everyone on the call, like, you know, to take it off of me, like, to convey it to hopefully something that relates to you guys is, like, everyone here on the call is in such a different journey. And I feel like if I felt these things, like, you must, like, might be feeling them maybe in a different way. But I think it's a big comparison game and wanting to get there wherever it is. And I think having goals is so amazing because it keeps us on track. It keeps us consistent and committed. But, like, it shouldn't be something that, like, you're going to wait until you get there to feel a certain way.
Your content is really good because people require hearing this about success really being a journey. There's more to it than the cliche because sometimes you get what you want and you find out it isn't really what you wanted. You have the accolades, but you don't have the peace. And that's what I'm seeing you turn the corner, that you're starting to have the success and have the peace. Oftentimes, I've seen people have success, and because they never really address the cause that create the effect, why they do what they do, then they sabotage the success that they try and control. Then they end up feeling out of control of what they're trying to control, and then it starts to fall apart. I've seen it so many times. And you're in such a good place right now. You have multiple businesses. Share with the listeners a little bit about the business that you've built that's another one of your passions, dance, and how you've really started to master and brand yourself in the dance world, specifically in the internet world.
Yes, absolutely. And I just wanted to add one more thing, Jeff. I remember feeling like when we when, like, we start to compare and, like, feel bad, it's like we're making it all about us. And I always know that my sister said anything that comes with this business, you know, like, don't make it – it's not about us. It's about, like, the other people who we can help. So I just always remember her saying that. But
how important was it to have your sister as your mentor on your journey?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I literally would thank her every single day, all day long. My sister's been my mentor my entire life, like even at a young age. I remember her giving me this book when I was 19 and introducing me to Marianne Williamson, who's just forever changed my life, but just knowing, listening to her work. And I actually still have the book, and it's gotten me through so many times. And my sister is so great because she, like, she sees so much in people, and of course she's my sister. She sees so much in me, so the things that I don't see. And she doesn't coddle me ever. She always lets me know what I need to know, and in a way where I'm like, all right, you know, she always would call me out, but she would also support me too. And there was just that she just was so great at that.
She would care front you.
Is that, yeah, I guess that sounds, yeah.
That's a good word, right. Care front.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so she like, and you know, she has such this peaceful power about her. And I mean, I remember the very first launch party we had at my brother's apartment where she was like so timid. There was like seven of us and she hardly spoke. And now she's like this like amazing speaker that people would pay like thousands of dollars to see her. And, you know, she's my sister. So but the great thing about her is that she doesn't even like feed into that. She's just her. She just does what she does. And it's like effortless.
It is. And
yeah.
So it's very important to have a mentor. And if you don't have one, then you learn to model yourself after other people. It's very important to be able to be the person that you want to become if you don't have the person right there in your circle of influence. In my journey, I never had the ideal mentor. I came from an older era of network marketing that we didn't have binaries and unilevels. They were called breakaway pay plans and matrixes and Australian two-ups, and I never had one person ever put in my team. And I never felt violated or disappointed because I didn't know any different. It just didn't happen like that. You were responsible for your team, and there was no such thing as team legs in situations like that today. Today, people have... I don't want to make it sound like it's easier. It's better because it's just a much better streamlined opportunity for people in internet marketing, direct sales, real estate, because of the advent of the internet and all the exceptional electronic tools that we can use to create businesses from the comfort of our home on a telephone, on a laptop, with a cell phone where long distance rates aren't $2,000 a month. I mean, there's really no excuses that people can't in 12 months, 24 months, be a six- or seven-figure income earner in any multitude of free enterprise businesses. And that's what I want you to share with us a little bit about your other business ventures, because you're a multipreneur. You're not only a professional network marketer, but you are a multipreneur who has had millions of followers following you on different videos. Share with the folks a little bit about your venture as a dance professional.
So, I love dance fitness. I love dance. And when I was leaving the gym that I kind of grew up in, I created this format called, and it's evolved since then, but it's called Tone and Tease. And it's just like basic dance fitness with like a sexy edge. And it's just so fun. It's really all about empowering women. Like, I've literally seen women transform in minutes. And it's something that I can't really explain in words. I do my best, but like watching it. So I would start teaching this class, and it was just so much fun. And I remember women were like, you know, can I do a video, or like, you know, can I get certified? How do I teach this? And I'm like, really? I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So, and it, you know, it was a funny, Jeff, it was one of our last coaching calls, like almost 3 years ago, or 2.5 years ago, where you're like, you were sharing with me about how you did your More Heart Than Talent, your not protege, a breakthrough event. And how you started with five people, because I was hesitating on starting certifications. I was really nervous. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And you're like, just start. And I did. And I think it was like a few months after that call. And that it just, I don't know, but whatever you said or how you said it was like, yeah, just start, because it's what I tell everybody else to do. So I did certifications all last year. You know, I'm doing some challenges and things online. I'm just starting slow online. Like I'm do master classes and things like that, but it's just like a tribe of women who are like support each other and just, you know, like the same things. It's just fun. And I still do like my master classes and stuff with, you know, dance fitness as well. So it's just like, I would never be able to do, like, I've traveled all over the world to do my passion. And if it wasn't for this business, like, I wouldn't even have thought that I could do it.
And how are you able to overcome some of your anxieties about creating the videos? So many people have challenges in putting themselves out there.
I just in the do. Like, I just do it. Like, and if you look at a lot of my like my videos on YouTube, like they're not professional. Like I actually do want to learn more how to do like professional stuff on them because it's becoming what people do now and I just want to stay with the times. But my videos back in the day and like even when I shared, you know, my product, like it was pretty bad. But like it was because I was just being me. And I feel like we don't have to be the best or have like, you know, not everybody wants to be a millionaire in network marketing. You know, like some people are great with, you know, making an extra $1,000 a month. And that's awesome. I just feel like there's something and someone for everyone. So when I started it, I just did it because I loved it.
And so it was your passion. How were you able to take your passion to where you have hundreds of thousands of views in a short period of time in 3 to 4 years? Because those numbers are off the charts.
I was consistent. I did it all the time. I just always put out content. Like I like never skipped a beat. It's just what I did. And it's what I did with everything though. Like I just was consistent. And I can say it all the time, but like it's just, you know, I was consistent when I was messy and when I wasn't sure, and then you just keep doing it. And like I support other people. Like I'm, you know, I just think that's another thing too. Like connecting with people that are doing the same thing, like it just was fun. And I wasn't thinking like who's doing it better. Oh my gosh, they have more followers. I wasn't thinking any of that.
Well, your moves are impressive. Now your creativity is also equally impressive. You branded a term called Tone and Tease, and I paid attention. You had another name for your early dance classes. So a lot of people get stuck in being creative and being innovative. They spend so much time being overwhelmed in the neocortex of their left brain. How are you able to take a brand such as Tone and Tease? How did you come up with the ideas and the moves and really take that to free enterprise? Because watch the video, like many people may have not even seen you on YouTube. How can they find you, first of all?
I'm Tara Romano and Tone and Tease, like across the board on social media. So like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And then I have a Tone and Tease website, toneandtease.com.
Not only do you have a website and a brand, but you actually offer certification for this type of dance move, don't you?
Yes, I put a hold on it for until after the summer, but yes, I'm actually going to start certifications again at the end of the year or early next year. So it's funny because even while we're talking about it, I'm like, I can't wait to do certifications again. But, you know, I can totally answer that question. I think that, like, I got the idea, like, because I always was looking like to learn. And I remember when I started Zumba, I watched one of the best Zesses out there, a Zumba education specialist. And I would just watch her late at night. I would never watch TV or I would just study her moves all the time. And then I remember going on it was actually Crunch Fitness website. I was just watching all these classes because I was looking for inspiration. And Tone and Tease evolved. So basically I'm telling you this because I was looking to learn. I didn't think I knew everything. Like I wanted to learn and like see what other people are doing. And I think sometimes we can get really complacent, like at something that we've done for a long time. Even now, like I go to other classes, like I take trainings, like I'm a forever learner. And I think that we can create so much creativity that way and be inspired. And I feel like nothing is brand new. Like the dance moves I do aren't like I made that dance move. But, like, you know, I put them together. So I think anytime people feel like they're not inspired, it's just because they're not, like, doing something to become inspired.
Over the weekend, I hosted my Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop, and I covered this for 20 of my clients, is that to own a business, it requires creativity and innovation. And most of the people that I was covering this content with don't have their own website. They're not incorporated. They don't have a logo. They don't have the colors. They don't have a vision of the outcome. They don't have clarity. And you have taken that to a whole nother level. And how important is, I'm going to come back to this again, to really be able to see an outcome before you start, even though you may not be successful, how important is it to establish clarity in your first year in business?
It's so important because there's going to be days where you don't want to do it. And they come up, like, they can come up often. And if you don't know the end result that you want, or you don't have that vision, you very well will stop. I always tell people when I have that first business call with them, I go, this is probably going to be one of the most important things that we do together. I go, I want you to just, you know, look at your short-term goal and your long-term goal and, you know, how committed are you? Because, and, or like make a little vision board, put up a quote, put up a picture of your family, because I want you to revert back to this on the days where you feel like quitting, because they're going to happen. It's just inevitable. People have bad days. They might feel like they can't do it. And I can't imagine if I ever quit. Like, I don't even know where my life would look like right now. I mean, I could think about, I probably would almost.
You'd be selling strawberry daiquiris with no alcohol at midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an inside joke, isn't it?
Yeah, my sister, we were out with for Mother's Day, and we heard the table behind us ask for frozen drinks, and the bartender was like, oh, I think the machine's broken, and I started laughing because, of course it's broken. Who wants to make frozen drinks?
Yeah, that's an inside bartender joke. No, we don't make those on Sundays. Oh, my God, I know DeBianca's laughing, too, but you would get that right. Tara, I used to bartend with a hangover in this place called Stanford and Sons, and we used to make a drink called Ramus Fizzes, and you had to make it with an egg. And I remember being so hungover once I threw up because I had to make it with an egg. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, I can't make this drink. I got to go home.
Funny.
You cracked the egg open. You had to put an egg white in it. It was called a gin fizz. Oh, my God. Can you see me doing that?
Yeah, of course.
No sleep on the next morning. You can picture, right, back in the day.
Yes, I think any service or bartender can totally get it.
Yes, we absolutely can. I mean, those are some of the situations I went through to get where I am today. I bartended. I'll never forget that I was clean and sober 4 years. I thought I stepped into a network marketing company. After 4 years, I graduated up to $18,000 one month, and I was starting to consistently make $12,000 and $15,000 a month. And our company owner changed the pay plan, and somehow in the software, I'm trying to remember, what would software even be like back in 1992? But the software crashed, and the checks didn't go out for a month. And by the time the checks went out, my whole downline was gone. And I'll never forget, I was waiting tables in Stockton, California, at a place called the Fish Market. And that summer, there were a lot of old bands playing on this patio. Steppenwolf played, Blue Oyster Cult, Nazareth, all these bands from the 70s. And I'm thinking, fuck, I'm 36 years old. Bartending again. I cannot believe it. I'd promised myself I'd never have a job, I'd never wait tables, I'd never sell products, and in the daytime I'm selling Cisco Foods. I hated that job. I thought I'd be calling on restaurants, I'm calling on nursing homes. I promised myself I'd never wait tables, I'm waiting tables, and I'm doing it because I had to. I was completely, I had no money, no credit, and that's, I graduated all the way down. I promised myself then in the spring, by fall of that summer, I'd be back in business. I was, and I ended up turning my whole situation around in the next 12 months. But I was willing to get a full-time sales job, which I hated, straight commission, and wait tables for about 6 months to get back on my feet, to have enough business, to have enough money so I could get back in business. That is called paying the price. You understand exactly what that means, don't you?
Absolutely. I so know what it means. Yeah.
I mean, even you waited several months to be back in the ideal apartment, didn't you? Or be back in...
Oh, where I am now? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're willing to do whatever you have to do to live the good life. So many people aren't willing to pay that price. As we're starting to wrap up our content here, are there any key insights that you'd like to share for people? Because 2017, we're almost at the halfway point. Your team is absolutely flourishing. Some of your people are breaking through. You have multiple businesses. What insight would you share with the people listening here tonight that will allow them to stay in the game and break through?
Yeah, you know, you kind of touched upon it, Jeff. Like, we're just in this age where we can build, like, multiple six figures, like seven figures, literally from our phones, and just by like talking and connecting with people. And it's, I think we make it so much harder than it is. And I mean, where else could you, like I look at the income that people are making, even if it's part-time, like where else could you make it with what we're doing? And I just think being consistent, like I say it on any call that I'm on is, you know, just be consistent and like day in and day out. You know, this is not a business where you have to sit in front of the computer for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. You know, think about like, you know, the job that you're in now, if you have one, you know, like it's just, you can just do so much with this business. I still think it's a compensation plan with personal development attached to it. We're just really grateful that like we even know what network marketing is. And I didn't think that in the beginning, but now I know it for sure. And I just want to share this with so many people because it's just the most amazing business model. And I remember this summer was like this past summer was the first time I said it. Like, I love this business. And I never imagined saying that. It's just changed my life and so many other people. And just think where you could be, like, in 6 months to a year from now, like you always say.
You did it. I watched you do it between 2011 and 2013. I mean, I was coaching you the day you wrote a check to pay off your college loan. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, where else does that happen? You paid off your college loan with one check. I'll never forget how inspired you were that day.
I was waiting for them to, like, you know, sound a horn. It was, like, the most amazing feeling. And I said it in my bio, like, if I can do this, you know, anyone on this call can. And I remember at one a company event, one of the leaders had said, this was one of my first events, and I'll never forget it. She said, look to your left and look to your right, because that person very well might not be here. More than 50% of you won't come back next year. And, like, I just knew that I didn't want that to be me because I had quit a lot of things in my life. I'm like, I'm just not going to quit anymore. So, yeah, like, I definitely had the support, but, like, there's so much support in this business, I think. And, you know, your life could be so much different if you just stay with this. It's just, you just can.
And you absolutely have persevered and succeeded in multiple businesses. Terry, I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. I'm also very inspired because this summer in August, you and I have the opportunity. We're doing an event, a pre-event before a major company event. On August 5th, you and I, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, and Susan Sly will be in Las Vegas at Bally's Hotel from 12 till 4 for the Millionaire Blueprint. I am so honored to share the stage with you at that event and forthcoming events in the future.
Thank you so much, Steph. It was always a pleasure to talk with you, and I cannot wait to do the event.
Honored to be your coach and friend. You are a first-class businesswoman, human being, and someone that I absolutely am honored to be friends and coach with. I want to thank everyone for listening to tonight's call. This call has officially been recorded and available for playback. You can access the call on playback tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, also at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Podomatic. You can also find it through my news feed at Jeffrey Combs on Facebook. Tara, thank you very much. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thanks, Jeff. Love you.
Bye-bye, Tara. Love you, too. Bye-bye.